I ain't here too much. I ain't not here.
Okay.
Well, we're not gonna be
too long, but
five minutes. But
you tell me about Harrington. Were you born here in Harrington?
I was born right here at the Blazers campground.
Uh-huh.
84 years ago, second day of 16th September 1902.
And you've lived in the Harrington area all your life?
Yeah. I moved to town before I started the school. And I went to work for the electric company. Horson was the man that hired me. But I remember when the street light was there and Mr. Parrish went around and lit them. Then they got an electric plant of their own.
What was it called?
I have a damn fine know. Public Service?
Eastern Shore Public Service?
I think it was, anyway. And there's a man by the name of Curly Birkenfield. He lived with Edith Fine, was his woman. He done all the work, all the service work.
Mm-hmm.
He just worked, well, he had a helper, I guess. I remember him well. I was pretty small. He lived close to us.
Mm-hmm.
He finally went to Dover and went to work for the town and city of Dover later on. Then Parsons, he was the man that hired me.
He came up here from Maryland, I believe.
I don't know where he came from. We built bars with beef.
In other words, you put the electric in out there?
Yeah, we run it from the highway up there with the improvised.
Was this with Mr. Parsons as your supervisor?
Yeah. That was when that picture was taken on it.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
We run the line down to the beach and put electric. They never had none there before.
Do you remember about what time the gas lights disappeared and electric came to Harrington? Can you guess what year that might have been?
I say about 1915.
Uh-huh.
Did
most of the homes have electric, or was it a slow process getting them?
Never had any electric.
Never had any electric?
Nobody.
Well, after the electric came to town, were the people anxious to get it?
Yeah, then they got it.
Uh-huh.
Pool was all I knew when I was a kid, a small kid.
Yeah, you'd care for me.
We used to buy it a nickel a gallon, 3 cents a half a gallon. Most times we got a half a gallon. We didn't have enough money to buy it. Wages was $1 a day. 10 hours, that's all a man needed. Lost all of any weather.
In other words, you weren't paid for any time that you didn't actually
know. No. You worked for Cook Credit, Charlie Murphy, or somebody like that. Reese paid 80 cents an hour.
That's at the cannery?
Canning factory, yeah.
You remember the Reese Canning factory?
Oh, hello.
Oh, really? Well, tell me something about it. Nobody's told me anything about it yet.
Oh, Reese had a factory on this side, and Book and Dory had one on the other side. For both of them.
Reese Avenue, you mean?
Yeah, I was big enough to work. 8 cents an hour, that's all I know. You got the same.
What did they can there?
Everything, peas, tomatoes. Peas and tomatoes. Reese canned peas. I don't think Book canned peas. There's a big factory in Fulton that hired most of the people like John Porter, George Porter, Albert, and that whole gang worked there. All I wrote was factory. They peel pears.
Mm-hmm.
People peeling them on a machine. They peel the pears.
It was probably sickle pears, wasn't it?
No, they them keeper.
Keeper?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then they come a big factory house. Actually, he was principal in the school here for years. He became the principal of the new school out when it first started.
And how did these other counties and these other communities affect the ones that were already here? Did it take any business away from them? The one in Felton and the one in Houston.
No.
They came in different products.
At different times. It was in the winter, like it came in pairs in the fall, late in the fall. No, and there was two more cannons actually. The Shilrick had one.
In Fleming's?
And a company factory. That was Brown, old man Brown.
Another shop
is attached to it, Fred Satterfield.
Maybe half a dozen.
Company factory, they called it Wayne. Wayne took it over and run it for a long time. Wayne, you remember when he ran a family?
No.
He took it over and then the rest of it.
Located.
The last one down in the river. Shilrick was there about the ice man. Murphy used to have the ice man turn. This was the last.
Well, what can you tell me about the basket mill? Did you ever work there?
Yeah.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, they employed quite a few people. They made baskets, 5-8 hampers, crates. They made them. Jacob Boyce, he worked there. Trout White, he worked there.
And most everybody in town
worked there one time or the other. They made baskets, made them on a farm. They had a farm. You put the lads, you know. I think they got about a quarter of 100. No, they got more than that, I think. They get only nothing more than 100 in my day.
What was the going wage back then for other things?
10 cents
an hour. Didn't buy much, did it?
All it is, when he got way too bad in the field, for 10 hours he thought he was making like a month.
Yeah.
7 and a half or 6 to 10 hour meters. And that's what money we had to live on. We didn't have no money.
That's when people used to have to go out in the woods and hunt huckleberries and blackberries and things like that in order to make their meals stretch far enough, wasn't it? You had that. What other industry was here back then that employed people? Anything else you can think of? Wasn't there a basket factory up here on the back way to Felton or something at one time? And that Felton, and it burned.
Jim Peel, the same man that was connected with this one, Lennox.
Did it employ a lot of people?
That I don't know. Only Salisbury run this one. The last, this one burned down.
Is there anything about, were you in town when they used the horse-drawn hearse that Donald McNutt has now? Miss Katie Boyer had it, and Donald inherited it when he bought the business. Do you remember ever seeing a funeral with that used?
I think I have. I think Fred Harrington used to be the undertaker.
Right. And he probably used it?
I believe it.
I was told they used big black horses if it was a man and white ones if it was a woman or a child.
Dr. Barber, he was a doctor here for a long time. He was our doctor, Dr. Riley, Dr. Lewis, at the house at George M. What a reason.
Where did Dr. Barber live?
Up in the Avenue.
Oh, that must be where Mary Brown lives.
Up in there somewhere.
Uh-huh.
He was our doctor.
These were always all general practitioners. When you just had a family doctor, and he did everything.
Yeah.
Remember Dr. Pittman, I'm sure. You ever go to him?
Yeah.
You know, they really missed him, Dr. Pittman. Can you remember the livery stable that used to be where Penn Spring is now?
My father used to Huckster Creek. That's where he got his horse from most of the time.
He rented him?
Yeah.
He'd go out and catch the fish, would he?
No, he'd buy the fish at that time. And he'd go on, he went fishing himself for the nets of his own.
I see. And he'd go door to door and sell his fish and we're doing a little recording for history here.
He'd go
door to door and sell his fish.
Yes, sir.
What other means of making a living was there to private individuals other than working for these factories?
Cutting wood for Cook Credit or Charlie Murphy, sawmills. All I know.
Can you tell me anything about the lumbering industry? Did you work in that?
Lumber?
Yeah.
No.
No. Wasn't into that. Did you work for the electric company all of your grown up life after you got started with them?
Well, a good bit. Yeah.
Retired from them?
Yeah. But not this company. I retired from the National Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
And
I didn't retire from any company. That's a union.
That's a union that they have.
I used to work all over the United States, Canada, and Mexico. If I wanted a job, if I wanted to quit working here, I'd go to another local jurisdiction. Like Wilmington, if I was working there, if I wanted to quit, just quit and go on into Philadelphia. I don't think they needed anybody to hire me.
Depended on where the highest wage was, where you would want to work. Well, now I'm going to ask you a personal question, John. If you don't want to answer, you don't have to. But you said that 10 cents an hour was the wage back when you were a boy. Can you tell me what the prevailing wage was for your type of job when you retired?
$4 an hour.
$4 an hour. And that was what year?
Well,
1942.
1942. Well, the war was on. The war had come on. I between 40 and 45, I say.
Did you ever serve in the service, John?
No, I was drafted, or I was deferred. I got deferred, and the company got me.
Good. That must have meant you were a valued employee.
Well, I was working around in the airport the first time, 6 months, and then they turned them out over 42. You see, I was over 42.
No,
$3 an hour. When I went to Pottstown, that's That was about the best wages I had got out of Morristown local. At that time, it was $4 an hour, and labor, we raised labor from 40 to 50 cents. And they were 50 to 50.
Well, of course, 10 cents an hour was a lot of money back then. Today, I don't suppose you'd even get anybody to work 50 cents an hour.
32. Roosevelt was elected president. First thing he done was close the banks. Then passed a law for all population labor 40 cents an hour. And man, they raised up hell. They leaned with the automobile companies, and they wouldn't have paid 40 cents an hour automobile companies. Up until then, that's when they started paying 40 cents an hour for labor. 32.
He'd had a lot of reforms that helped the country, didn't he?
Miners are getting about 15 cents working 3 days a week. When he left, did bad time. Freshen. Freshen, like it wasn't worth. Freight train go through town, be covered up top of it with people riding, looking for work.
There wasn't anything around here anymore than there was in the place else, was there?
Half of the people out there lost their homes.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't keep the mortgages up. Real estate built much overnight. Wouldn't even meet the mortgages. The banks helped. That was the trouble with the banks.
That's why he closed the banks then.
Right.
To put some kind of government control on them.
Yeah, I stood right in Pottstown, a doctor there by the name of Porter, right while I was talking to him. I got acquainted with him. Wasn't none of my people. And I said, how are you doing, Mr. Porter? I said, it's pretty good, I guess. Just standing there thinking. Didn't see it building over there on the corner? It was a 4 or 5 story high building. He said, I bought that store about 3 months ago. $20,000. 2 weeks afterwards, I sold it for $40,000. And now they've just sold it for $60,000. That's the way property went up when the war come on. And automobiles, they just crazy, they went out of place. You couldn't get no kind of one.
Isn't that something?
Overnight.
Well, I know Mrs. Alsa Harrington told me that when Reese put up the second theater, he had to go through all kind of government agencies because it was during the war, and he had to get priorities, permission to get certain metals and things that he needed to put in there.
Yeah.
Well, the war was bad in the respect that we lost a lot of men, but it seems like every time there's a war, there's prosperity in the country, too. It's a shame that for one to happen, the other has to happen. Well, is there anything else you can think of? Tell me, John. Any other part of your life that specifically sticks in your memory?
Well, I say not, no. I've had a good life, so that's good. I saw my sister Monday.
You did?
She'll be 90 September 8th.
Oh, that's great.
Well, what does it say about that water adding on?
All right, at least you're here.
I don't see that. Thank you.